The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. We are about 8 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock. Our guest today in the studio is Mary Kuperi. It rhymes. That's the way she told me to remember it. And she's with the Thumb Music Makers. They've got a performance coming up on August 9th, not this Thursday, but a week from Thursday, at the Huron City Church. And we're going to be talking about that and about the Thumb Music Makers. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
First of all, Thumb Music Makers. Is it self-explanatory, the name, or is there a little more to it?
Well, our goal is to bring high-quality music to Huron County, and we started thinking mostly about the Port Hope, Grindstone, and Harbor Beach areas, and up into Port Austin, because we just thought there was a dearth of opportunities to listen live to good quality music. So we don't make music in the sense of making the music ourselves, but our goal is to bring it to the area.
But you make music yourself in another capacity.
Yep.
You are in an orchestra down in Port Huron, I understand.
Right. I do lots of music, actually. That's only one of them. But I play in the International Symphony in Port Huron and Sarnia. That's why it's international. We do each concert twice. And I play with our performers who are coming next week, Sander and Colette.
You have to play it in metric on the Canadian side?
Never tried that yet. I think the numbers are the same on both sides.
Okay. I don't know if the tempo changed in metric or not.
Yeah.
But anyway, the people you have coming up for this performance, they are part of that orchestra, mm-hmm. as I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And who are they?
Sander Castellari is our concertmaster, and that means he sits first chair, first violin. He leads all the strings. I play viola, so I'm part of the strings. In our bowings. In an orchestra, the bows are always supposed to be going the same direction, up or down at the same time, as much as possible. Sometimes the violas are doing something different than the violins, so it doesn't work. So he plans all the bowings. He leads in anything he thinks the conductor might need to know about the strings, with questions or with making decisions. And so Sander's been in our orchestra about 5 years. And so I know him fairly well. And Colette has played first violin 3 years or so in our orchestra. So.
And how do you get to be first chair in an orchestra? Is that something the conductor does? Or because, you know, I remember in band, the band director just basically, you played in your first chair, your second, your third. Is that still how it goes? Is that kind of not changed as far as all those years ago for me?
You know, we don't necessarily try out for chairs. I think somewhat the placing is based on our ability, but the concertmaster is actually hired to be concertmaster.
Oh.
So he has to be well known, he has to have a good resume, he has to have played in many other places.
So it's a whole experience
type
of thing that you bring with you to the orchestra.
Right, about half our orchestra gets paid, and they're professionals. So, and that is the case with these two.
Is it something that, you know, they make a living at, or is this something that, you know, is you do on the side because you love the music?
For me, it's on the side because I love music.
And you don't get paid.
And I don't get paid. And I do other musical things in Harbor Beach, some of which I get paid for. But these two get paid, and they make a living playing in orchestras, playing for special gigs, and teaching lessons. So they are professionals. That's how they make it. Each of them plays in 3 or 4 orchestras.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought you were kind of an exclusive thing, almost like a baseball player.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in an orchestra,
I think that might be the case with, like, the Detroit Symphony, which is a bigger commitment and much harder to get into. But
seems like that would be hard to split your mind 3 ways into different orchestras and different things you do, but okay.
For example, the International Symphony that I play in, we rehearse Tuesday evenings, plus a Thursday dress rehearsal for every concert. So we rehearse about 4 Tuesdays and 1 dress rehearsal and then 2 concerts. And then we get a week off or so, and then we do the same thing again. And so they would have to pick orchestras that rehearsed on different nights.
And within driving distance.
And within driving distance, yeah. They are both Detroit Metro people.
Now, both play the violin.
Correct.
And do they play together, separately? Do they try to augment one another? How does that work in their concert that's going to be coming up in Huron City?
Yeah, there'll be all of those. Each will play separately. I've got a few. Colette is going to play a Beethoven sonata. Sander is going to do some gypsy music. He's going to do some Brahms. They'll do a concerto for two violins by Bach. And so I think there's a couple numbers together and some separately stuff.
And it's classical style music.
It'll be mostly classical. There'll be an emphasis on casual and crowd pleasing as well, because this is not a serious venue. This is a summer, make it fun kind of venue.
Okay. And do they have to work the pieces there was one that was just for two violins, it sounded like, but the rest of them, it sounded like that might be something that you almost have to adapt for what you're going to be doing, because in the most times there's going to be a whole orchestra behind you, or at least a group. Do they have to kind of come up with their own adaptations or
I think that might be true of some of the gypsy style things that Sander has done. Most of what they're doing is going to have the notes on a page and they play it. Many things written for orchestra have a transcription for piano instead. And I don't know if that's the case here or not. If there are a couple pieces that will be played with piano.
Well, I'm sure if it's out there, they can find it on the internet somewhere, because everything's on that internet.
Right, and there's software to transcribe most everything, too. So,
Now, you're going to be having this at the church at Huron City.
Huron City Church.
And what day and time, again?
Next week, Thursday, August 9 at 7.
About how long is it going to last as people make plans for their evening?
Right. Concert will be about an hour of music, and there'll be a 15-minute intermission in the middle, so no more than an hour and 15 minutes.
And the church has good acoustics, as I understand it, for this type of performance.
It does. It's a lovely venue. Even if it's a warm night, there's fans, there's windows. They keep it shut during the day to keep it as cool as possible. It's very kind of intimate. I don't mean it's super small, but it's a warm, close feeling, so the audience can hear easily comments that they make, and we feel close to them as opposed to a concert hall.
Because you don't need any amplification in the church.
We're not going to use any, no.
Because you have those good acoustics, and it's the type of performance where, you know, people aren't shouting and hooting.
Right, yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, we have had the Denbrock Band in there with their acoustics. I mean, with their amplification. So we could do that, but not this one.
And when they come up here, is this something that they're just there for the evening? Do they stay in the area a little bit, get a little of the flavor of Huron County before they go? Because, I mean, if you're from Detroit, this might be a good time to show these people what we have to offer up here.
Yeah, I wish. And that has happened sometimes with our groups. But these two have young families, and they'll go back in the evening. They'll come up in the afternoon. And so, we will host them for a light supper beforehand.
Okay. How do people get tickets? Are they at the door? Can you get them in advance? Because I know you'd like to have an idea how many are coming, how many fans you're going to need.
Yeah. Getting them at the door is just fine. We usually have a little extra room. And there is a phone number to call. You can call me at Harbor Beach, 479-9656. Or there's a number on the poster. I think it's Patty Finan's number, 670-8196, whichever number, if you want more information. I don't think we get... We tried once tickets ahead of time, but it was more trouble than it was worth.
And they're $10 for adults, $5 for students at the door.
Correct.
And if they're younger than that, how young do you want them there? I mean, you wonder sometimes if it's going to be more of a distraction if the kids get restless and start to cry or fidget and kick the seat in front of them and all that kind of stuff. What type of ages are you looking for here?
You know, we're looking for whoever. I raised my children listening to classical music and coming to concerts as young as I could get them there. And it all depends if they can behave reasonably well for an hour concert. And we love to expose young people to this. And I think the pieces will be short enough and the performers will talk about their music, so it will be casual enough that I think it's ideal for upper elementary, junior high, and high school students.
Is this how younger people get their maybe their first taste of classical music? Sometimes, you know, kids think it's stodgy and you know, all that stuff, and I want, you know, the hip modern stuff. Is this like maybe a first exposure for some that may give them an idea that the great masters had a little idea of what they were doing?
Oh, I think that's a great idea. I teach music in Port Hope and used to teach in Harbor Beach, and I would regularly play classical music. In fact, the first 3-4 minutes of every class, and my students were fascinated and very much enjoyed it. So I think it's a great way to expose them.
Does it sometimes get the kids a little, freaked out that sometimes some of the popular music you hear is almost like an excerpt from some of that. They take bits out of it and turn it into something else. It might surprise them.
It might. The best pop performers usually had classical backgrounds, which means they learned to read music and they learned the finer points. That's the foundational stuff that all the other music comes out of. So I think it's something everybody needs to be exposed to, at least.
Okay. What are the backgrounds on these people? Long time in the business? They look kind of young in the pictures. Did they just start at an early age and can get this fine mastery?
Correct. The best way to start in music is young. And both of these players started very young. Colette specifically told me she started at 3. And I asked her, why did you decide to get a degree in music performance? It's not always easy to make a living that way. And she said, I loved it. And I was good at it, and I never thought of doing anything else.
Now, what do you start off a 3-year-old with?
Yeah.
I mean, that just seems like, you know, I mean, you'd want to expose them to it, but is there actually instruments that are good for a 3-year-old to start on?
Yes. Violins especially. There's a whole type of music called Suzuki, started by a Japanese person maybe 50 years ago, that is used a lot with little kids. There's other ways too, but you get a half or even a quarter size violin, and you know, you start with very simple stuff, and you do a lot of playing by ear the first couple years. You don't learn to read music until you're 6 or 7. So,
and that's interesting, they have smaller violins to teach them, because they don't have smaller pianos. I had piano lessons, and it was a full keyboard, and my fingers at the time weren't quite big enough to make a full chord. So they do make the violin smaller. Is this something available locally? Is this something that people can actually find? I mean, I wouldn't know where to start.
Yeah. Well, I know in Deckerville there's a teacher who teaches little kids strings and small ones, and Port Huron, I'm assuming Bay City. And so I don't know a lot about right here in Bad Axe if there's a teacher, but yeah, I know that Deckerville, Joyce Reed, teaches little kids.
So if you're looking for that for your children, there's odds are you can find someone reasonably close that you can take them to.
And now with the internet, you can buy instruments almost anywhere. There's a great instrument place in Ann Arbor called Char that people from around the world get violins and stringed instruments at. So that's where I got mine.
I hate to be the on this, but it sounds pricey. Are these instruments available used where, because you know how kids are.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to do this. And 3 weeks later, I don't want to do this anymore because I didn't learn it in 3 minutes.
Right.
Is there a turnover in this? Is there, if you start them off, there's a way you can recoup a little of this off?
Yeah. All of these companies start with rentals if you prefer, and you rent one, and then when you need a bigger size, you exchange it. And so and violins are really not that expensive. You can get them really cheap from China, but that's not usually ideal. But you can get them from Japan and Korea a little better, etc. And you know, a couple hundred
dollars.
You know, some of these best people, these really high performers, do own, or sometimes they rent for performances. You can rent Stradivarius for a performance. But anyway, pricey. As far as if you want to succeed on an instrument, there's a lot of parental involvement in these things. When you have a 3-year-old, the parents work with them, and sometimes they're from families where the parents are musicians, you know. So that might have been the case for Sander and Colette.
And do you need it a couple of times a week? Because little kids in a week forget everything, including manners. I mean, do you need to reinforce it? I mean, because if you don't personally play, there's not a lot you can do to help them other than to say do it.
Well, when you take Suzuki lessons, the parents are asked to come to the lessons for the little ones, and they're taught how to work with their kids. So, yeah, once a week is all you need to do.
But it sounds like a way of, it almost can help in bonding families.
Oh, yeah. Parents who love it say it's wonderful. I have a niece who went that route. My daughter also played violin. She didn't start till third grade, though. But my niece did it, you know, she started at four, and she's a great violin player now. And so it worked. My daughter still plays, too. My daughter started at eight, and she plays in a bluegrass band in California. So
And how long does it take before the kids don't sound like they're killing cats?
Yeah.
Because there's a little learning curve there before they're actually hitting the right notes.
Yeah.
Is this something that you can say, all right, I got like 2 months of this, and then they should be easing through onto real notes? Is there any...
You know, the ugly sound is not so much a problem with real little ones because they're little. And you don't... When a 3 year, 4 year old makes a weird sound on a violin, it's kind of cool.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, but some of that, you know, after if they're practicing for a half an hour, is like, you know, nails on a chalkboard. If I were doing it, people would run because it's awful.
Maybe they wouldn't. So, in a year or two, these children are playing lots of tunes. And they learn things like Mary Had a Little Lamb in the first couple months and Hot Crust Buns. And so, no, it's not unpleasant.
Well, I imagine you'd have to make it not unpleasant or the kids wouldn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah. And, you know, the kids who tend to want to do this kind of thing and the parents who want them to do it usually have some musical talent. And so it isn't the worst thing to hear.
Do they usually have, like, performances, showcases for the kids? Because, you know, you learn something, you kind of want to show it off. Do they normally try to do that? Because...
Mm-hmm.
You know, normally bands around here normally don't have violins in them. It's got to get all the way up to an orchestra before you get into a full stringed section. Mm-hmm. So there isn't a lot of opportunities to show it off.
Right. Yes, all string teachers will have programs. And I've been to a few when my daughter played, and usually it's darling, you know, these little 4-year-old girls in their pretty dresses and the boys in their bow ties and they're playing little simple songs, and they do a lot by ear and in groups. Like the whole group will play a simple Beethoven minuet together, and it sounds really nice. It's fun.
Interesting.
I didn't get to talk about Sanders' background.
Oh, go ahead.
That's fascinating as well. I really don't know what brought him to the States, but I do know that he grew up in Albania. Albania is in southeastern Europe, near Greece and Turkey. And he got his degree in fine arts from a graduate school in Tirana. And then he came to Wayne State and studied at Wayne State for 4 years. And so so that's kind of interesting, too.
And is all this studying what gets him to be the headmaster of the string section? Is this what it really takes? Is your resume, you've padded it well enough and you've got the ability now?
Lots of practicing. It's just one of those things that takes lots of practicing, years and years. But he's performed throughout that time, and you have to be comfortable playing in front of people, comfortable playing solos. He also, both of these people, solo with groups. And Sanders recently played a solo with our orchestra. He also performed with the Rochester Symphony. He currently plays with Flint. So lots of practicing. When we have a concert, he is one of the earliest there, and we hear him in the back warming up. And he warms up on very simple stuff, very routine, over and over. And then he gets more complicated and faster. So they practice a lot. Yeah.
Is there a gift to this?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can learn the mechanics, but you can't put the soul into it, the feeling into it. Do you have to have that as well to really make it work? Because, you know, you can learn the chords on the piano, but if you don't feel it and do it, it really isn't happening. So does it work the same with violins and most instruments?
Yeah, I think talent is part, and it's definitely part, but even more is passion and love for what you're doing. So if you've got a person who combines talent with the passion for what they're doing, that's what brings them to the high level.
And even if they find out that they don't have the talent to actually be in a full, big orchestra, it can get them involved in the behind-the-scenes things.
Definitely.
The paperwork, orchestrating, you know, all the management stuff that goes behind it that makes it all happen. So it can also lead to other areas within the quote-unquote scope of music.
Right. And there, up here in the Thumb, we don't have community orchestras, but much of our country does. There's about six of them in the Detroit area. Flint, Midland, Bay City. There's lots of community orchestras. So even if you're only average, they need plenty of stringed instruments to play that are more harmony and background. So you can still play. You don't have to be the best like these two.
But it doesn't hurt.
Doesn't hurt.
The music makers, now you bring this to the area. Have you brought other things to the area yet this year? Or is there any more to come? Or is this the final performance as we're getting into August?
Yeah, this is our final summer performance. July, we had a concert Wednesday, I think the 8th, of a vocalist from Kalamazoo, Western Michigan, who had an accompanist. And so those were our two concerts for the summer. That's what we have done, is typically sponsored two concerts each summer. Our hope is also to sponsor something during the year through the schools. Last year, it didn't work out. We tried some ideas and the dates didn't work. The year before, we sponsored a concert by the Cardinal Singers at Bad Axe High School for students, for middle school and high school students. And we'd like to do that again. So.
And it's just, it's more the logistics of making all the ducks line up to make it fly.
Right.
And ticket sales, is that one of the main fundraisers? Because no, grants are pretty much washed up for just about everything today. And no money in Lansing, no money in Washington. And it seems like it's harder and harder to qualify and apply.
Right. Ticket sales is how we fund. Our performers normally get paid. We had the Army Band a couple years ago, and they didn't require any payment. But
they're paid by the Army
already.
Yeah,
they are, right. So ticket sales, we've had a few donations, and certainly people can donate for future concerts.
If people want to get involved with the Thumb Music Makers, how do you do that? Do you have to be able to play an instrument, or do you just have to be able to, as we do here, play the radio?
Yeah. Some of our members are musicians, and some of them are, our leader, Dean Smith from Port Hope, simply just has a great love for the arts and wants to encourage them. And we also have a member, Patty Finan, who is not necessarily a musician. I think she's works in photography mostly, but she's very good with a business sense. So anybody who has any abilities or skills that would be part of this, we would certainly welcome.
Is it a big commitment, once a month of a meeting, that type of thing, or how do you do that?
I imagine
as you get closer to the event, there might be a little more going on to get organized. We need people to be there and set up chairs and do all that kind of stuff.
Yep, so that's what it's like. It's sometimes once a month, sometimes less in the winter, and sometimes more. I would say we probably have 8 meetings a year. Is probably about it is.
So it's not a huge commitment, but it is a way to be involved in the music scene in Huron County.
Right.
Terrific. How would they get involved? Would they contact you, Patty, somebody?
Yeah, either one of us. Dean Smith, Patty Finan, myself, Wendy Zick. Those are our current 4 members. And again, my number is 989-479-9656. And Patty Finan's number is 989-670-8196. Those are the numbers I have handy.
Give a call and become part of the music scene.
Some music makers.
I appreciate you taking time with us today. Again, the concert is coming up next Thursday. It's just tickets at the door. No hassle in having to get them. And there's usually enough room to get all the people in.
So. Correct. And there's even refreshments at intermission.
Terrific. Freshman's at church.
Yeah.
What would you ask? And their names again are?
Sander Castellari and Colette Matage. And by the way, Colette grew up in Southern Cal and got all her training through a doctorate in music there and moved to the Detroit area just a couple years ago because of her husband's job. So.
Everybody thinks that moves from Detroit to California, but it does work the other way.
Yeah, right.
She brought her to our area, and then she got involved, I guess, in Port Huron, and that's where you met them.
Correct.
And all the ducks fell in line, and they're going to be here next Thursday, not this week, following week,
right.
the 9th, beginning at 7 p.m., the Huron City Church, located between Port Austin and Port Hope in Huron City. And you can stop out, get some tickets, and enjoy the performance. A lot of classical music and more fun stuff as well.
Thanks, Craig.
Thanks for being with us. Our guest today has been Mary Kuperi with the Thumb Music Makers. I do want you to stay tuned. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.
Where are you getting your country? AM 1340, the Thumb's hottest country. We play while you work.